Almighty God, as we continue now our worship of you, send your Spirit into our midst that we might open our hearts, open the ears of our hearts to hear your voice, that we may be more deeply drawn into our life with your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake and in his name, serve those you send our way. Amen. Good morning. So you made it past the marathon. A lot of people use the marathon as an excuse not to come to church. It used to be right there, out there on Woodway. And so that stopped about 3 years ago. So where is everybody? It's been a little bit down between the cold and the marathon. So if you're here, thank you. You do not get extra credit. You can't use this as a, you know, toward next week. So this is just glad that you're here. The four-year-old Jason, he was visiting his grandparents, and his grandpa was in his study intently reading. And Jason walks in carrying a peach, and he hands the peach to his grandfather, and then he says something, but the grandfather didn't quite catch it. And thinking his wife had sent him a snack, the grandpa just grabbed it up, ate it with relish in just a few bites. And as he was kind of licking the few drops off of his hand, he looked down and he saw his grandson with quivering lip, who said, but Pap, I didn't want you to eat it. I just wanted you to get the worm out. Best reaction I've gotten so far today. Thank you. I can trace many of the mistakes I've made in my life to one thing: not taking the time to listen, to think, to reflect, and then to make the right decision. Much of the sin I have committed in my life is due to the selfishness of my own self-centered nature and activity, that I have locked out the voice of my own good reason or the feelings of others or the voice of God. Now, around the church, people use pulpits for all kinds of things. Some preach about politics, which I think is always a mistake, full stop. Others preach about church controversy or divisive issues. I think that's another mistake. The pulpit here at St. Martin's is reserved primarily for evangelism, spreading the good news of the love of God and the salvation offered to us in Jesus Christ, hopefully with God's help. We use this pulpit wisely to do what we can to help connect voice with listeners, message with heart. From this pulpit, your clergy do our best to offer what we can, offering the guidance about how we can come into a relationship with Christ, ways we can serve faithfully as members of the body of Christ, and ways we can deepen our experience of both. Now, today I want to reflect on one spiritual discipline, a tool for your spiritual toolbox, if you will respond to all the work that we do from this pulpit, but also a tool that's a discipline that is an absolute necessity in our walk with Jesus Christ, and that is listening. And to do that, I'm going to use the Old Testament lesson that Charles read a moment ago. So 1 Samuel was written probably by an unnamed author between about 1100 and 1000 BC, a long time ago. Most of the 31 chapters are about Israel's 12 tribes uniting under one king. How did that come about? Well, it came because Samuel listened. Now, there's a lot leading up to the little piece to today from chapters 1, 2, and 3, but let me give you the short version. The short version is Samuel's mother, Hannah, prayed that she might conceive a son with her husband, Elkanah, and when her prayer was answered, she named her boy Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Samuel actually sounds much like the Hebrew word, heard of God. So there's a lot of listening going on here from the beginning. She's so grateful for her son that she dedicates him to the Lord and service in the temple of the Lord and under the mentorship of the priest Eli. Now, one night as Samuel's laying down to sleep, he hears a voice calling his name. And he runs to Eli and he says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli responds, "I did not call you, go back to bed." This happens twice more before Eli sensed what was happening. He says, "Go lie down. If you hear this again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And well, the rest is history, literally. God called Samuel to an incredible task, and his life was actually changed forever, as was the nation of Israel. Here is the birthplace of the new way God's kingdom was going to run. It was not just a moment going on here. It was an invitation to enter a partnership with God, to rule the Hebrew people. And Samuel would not have known if he did not first hear God and even more invite God to speak. And now he was ready to listen. And of course, Samuel would have to rely on that hearing and listening the rest of his kingship as he fathered Saul, who fathered the greatest king in Israel's history, David. And to be quiet to listen is really hard. You remember the words of Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." There are a number of reasons why we should be still and listen for the voice of God. When we do that, the first thing we realize is that we're not God. If we are still and listen, we become connected to God on a deeper level. And if we become still and listen, we actually are increasingly formed into the people that God calls us to be. This is precisely what we see happening when Samuel got still, was quiet, listened to the voice of God. He experienced God, he had a deeper connection with God, and then he saw what God wanted him to do with his life. I think of all the questions I receive over the years from church folk, one that tops the list again and again is, how can I experience God more in my life? As some of you know this, if you're a regular member here, I was a magician during my high school years. It was a great job. I can be a bit handy with a magic wand. I do that sometimes here during Lent. If you're not a member, just stick around. But, you know, I don't have a wand that actually possesses real magic. If I did, when somebody came in my office and asked that question, I'd pull it out and poof, I'd give you whatever experience of God that you're seeking. The problem is that most of us are looking for something miraculous, otherworldly, when it comes to experiencing God. But, you know, the best thinkers and writers on spiritual life will tell you that you should not seek mountaintop experiences. You should seek God. Seek God. And sometimes you find him on the mountain. Sometimes you find him in church. Sometimes you find him on your knees by your bed. Other times you find him in traffic on 610, where I pray a lot. I love the words C.S. Lewis offered many years ago. He wrote that, you know, if you're on your knees saying your prayers and you can't stop thinking about the dirty dishes in the kitchen, it may be that God is telling you, go do the dishes. Believe it or not, experiencing God may be more natural than supernatural, may be more normal than miraculous. He does present himself in supernatural ways. There are miracles, and I believe in miracles, but it may be that he shows up more often than we think. How do we experience him more deeply, more regularly? By listening. Here's some wisdom from Frederick Buechner on listening. He writes, "Sometimes we avoid listening for fear of what we may hear, sometimes for fear that we may hear nothing at all but the empty rattle of our own feet on the pavement. But to live without listening at all is to live deaf to the fullness of the music of life." But God says he's with us. He says he has been with us since our journeys began. So listen for him. I don't think I've been really diagnosed. This is before they started diagnosing this. I think I probably have a tinge of ADD. And I remember well in grade school, whenever those little ADD tendencies would crank up, a teacher would say, "Russell, are you listening?" And the answer was usually no. Or the coach would come in and say, "Hey, team, listen up." But listening is hard. There's so much competing for our ears and our minds, our hearts. It's hard to turn it all off. It's difficult to make the time and the space. And yet, what we see in young Samuel was a willingness to listen. Actually, listen up to the heavenly voice of God. And in doing so, finding God more deeply, finding meaning and purpose and direction in his life. One thing that keeps us from listening up is simply the busyness of life, either the busyness that is or the busyness that we create. A psychiatrist, Carl Jung, once wrote of our increasingly busy culture, "Hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil." Some years ago, I had a fellow student in my doctoral program who was a missionary to Africa, and he told me that the natives with whom he worked could not really understand why visiting Westerners always seemed like they were in such a hurry and such a rush. In fact, he told me the word for white man in Swahili was mzungu, which literally translated was to go around and around. Letty Cowan, in her book Springs in the Valley, tells the story of some coolie tribesmen who had been engaged to carry the loads of some Western travelers. And she writes, "The first day they marched rapidly and went far, and the Westerners had high hopes of a speedy journey. But the second morning, these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason, they just sat and rested. And when they were asked for the reason for this strange behavior, the traveler was informed that they had gone too fast the first day and that they were now waiting for their souls to catch up to their bodies." Do you ever feel that way? You're waiting for your soul to catch up to your body. So I want to suggest, you know, here we are, we're still making those New Year's resolutions. I saw early this morning on the news there's some advertisements for some exercise machines, some weight loss things. A lot of us have already broken our New Year's resolutions. But here's one to consider. Listening more. Listening can actually improve your life more than the exercise machines or the diet supplements. John Wesley once wrote, "Though I am always in haste, I'm never in a hurry because I never undertake more work than I can go through without a calmness of spirit." We know Jesus had a full, busy, often complicated life. We are also told in Scripture that Jesus often withdrew a lonely place apart. If we take the time to shut out the noises around us, to set ourselves apart alone, with ourselves, we actually come to learn really more about ourselves. We begin to sense what needs to be healed or helped or nourished or encouraged. Listening can improve your life. Listening can also improve your relationships with others. One of the common complaints I hear when I work with husbands and wives in pastoral care is usually something like this. She never listens to me. And you husbands know quite well, as do I, that most of the times that we have gotten into trouble with our wives, it's been because we've either refused or we've simply been too lazy to listen. But the same is true of our friendships and our work environments, of our life in the church, of who God calls us to be. We tend to talk far more than we listen. But you've probably heard the old quip that God gave us two ears so that we could listen twice as much as we talk with our one mouth. The popular devotional writer Charles Swindoll, who serves a church in Dallas, tells this story from his own family life. He writes that one day he was too caught up in the undertow of too many commitments and too many days at church. And it wasn't long before he was kind of snapping at his wife and children, choking down food at mealtimes, feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. And before long, things around the home started reflecting this pattern of his hurry-up lifestyle. It was becoming unbearable for everyone. And he wrote that he distinctly remembers one day after supper the words of his young daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell him something that had happened at school that day that she felt like was important. So she kind of rushed up to the table and she hurriedly said, "Daddy, I want to tell you something and I'll tell you really, really fast." And suddenly realizing her frustration, Swindoll answered, "Well, honey, you can tell me something and you don't have to tell me really fast. Just say it slowly. And then he confessed, I'll never forget her answer. She looked at me and then said, Daddy, then listen slowly. If we begin to listen more to one another, it would improve our relationships. So listening can improve your life, it can improve your relationships, but more than anything, it can improve your relationship with God. And for those of you like me, I'm getting old enough to where hearing is an issue. It doesn't work much at home, but I give it a try. But for listening to God, you know, you don't need a hearing aid. I often have people tell me, I don't know what you mean by hearing God. I try and listen, but I don't ever seem to hear anything. Is that true? Have we really put ourselves in a place where we are open to hearing God? The writer John Hamilton tells the true story that before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, a tightly fitted door. And in winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice houses, covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into the summer. One day, a man lost a valuable watch while working in the ice house. He searched diligently for it. He searched raking kind of through the sawdust, didn't find it. His fellow workers jumped in. They tried to help him out, but all of their efforts proved too futile. Lunchtime came, and they all went out for lunch, and a small boy who heard about that search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour while they were out eating, and within moments came out holding up the watch. And amazed, the men asked him, well, how'd you find it? He said, well, when you all went outside, I closed the door, I lay down in the sawdust, and I kept very still and very quiet, and soon I heard the watch ticking. The point is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are being still enough and quiet enough to hear God. Read some years ago a Christian poet who offers this. She wrote, God, are you real? The woman asked. And a lark sang, but the woman did not hear. So the woman said, God, speak to me. And thunder rolled across the sky, but the woman did not listen. She looked around and said, God, let me see you. And a star shined brightly in the night, but the woman did not notice. Then she said, God, show me a miracle. And a small baby was born, but the woman did not take time to know it. So she finally cried out in despair, God, touch me and let me know you're here. And God reached down and touched the woman, but she brushed the butterfly aside and walked away unknowingly. So again, we're still in that new year. Maybe it's time to take a good long look at your life, to slow down and listen. Read your Bible. Say your prayers. Shut off the sounds. Do the dishes. Smile at a stranger. Serve another. Stop the world and get off. If only for a moment or two each day. My friends, don't seek a mountaintop experience. Just seek God. Seek the time. Make the space and listen. Listen to yourself. Listen to those around you. Listen to God. You might be surprised at what you hear. You might be surprised that you hear. So, follow Samuel's lead. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In other words, listen up. Listen up. Amen.